Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. And I finally got my tongue untied. I had to restart that intro like 5 million times because I couldn't say entertainment podcast for some reason. But now we're here, and we're also on Facebook, where you should visit us and become a fan of our page. And don't forget to visit us on iTunes. And as always, you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com. So what's going on, Tony?
Nothing.
That's it? Show's over. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Got nothing to say. Actually, we have some stuff to talk about this
week.
We've seen some stuff. We played some stuff.
There you go.
I feel
There's a little more prepared. A lot of stuff
Except going when it on. Comes to TV.
It feels warm in here, though. Is it warm in here?
No, you're always warm.
I'm always warm. I don't know what my problem is. Maybe I should stop eating Vienna fingers. That would probably help a little bit.
Really? That tends to increase your body temperature?
You know, calories are a measurement of heat. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
So what have you been playing?
We're jumping right in, huh? No, we have a shout-out. We have shout-outs.
Okay. Can I? Do you mind if I dedicate this show to my friend Kristen?
No, that's fine.
There you go. That's all I'm saying about that.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll bring the show down. I mean, I like that you dedicated it, but
so. Okay.
Didn't we have a shout-out? We had a shout-out.
Do we?
Yeah, to Stritch, who sent us a letter talking about, maybe this is more my shout-out. Talking about how I'm very adamant about what I will do and what I won't do.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much of a... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to waste my time with crap. That's basically what I won't do.
Really? You won't? Let's wait until we get to our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week and see if that still holds true.
That's right. You don't even know what that is.
I mean, seriously, you know, the whole thing is entertainment is supposed to be entertaining. So most people don't want to waste their time with crap. But, I just think you... You know, sometimes you don't give stuff a chance. That's all.
I gave it a chance.
You gave it one episode. That's not a chance.
We're referring to Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
That
you only watched one episode.
It was enough for me to know I hated it.
You know what? You know what's funny though? Haven't you ever watched a show and not liked it, and then gone back later and liked it?
No.
Like I when I first started watching The Office, I watched the first three episodes, and I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
And now it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That's because you were like a Johnny Come Lately who, once everyone else was on the bandwagon, you jumped on.
No, it was because we were bored and rented it. And same thing happened with Alias. When I first started watching, did not like it at all, and then I came back and watched it later. And I really enjoyed it. I think the first three seasons were a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think of things I really liked that maybe I didn't like them at first. And you know what? I guess I go too strongly on my like first impressions because I can't think of anything that I had to come around to.
I'm sure that you've mentioned stuff in the past that you watched and then weren't really crazy about and then went back and watched it again. And I'm almost
positive.
It's
not coming to mind. There are things that I have watched and enjoyed and then later realized that I don't really like it.
Well, yeah, unfortunately that happens, I think, more than the other way around.
And not even so much that it got bad and I stopped liking it because it got bad. No, I'm like, you know what? I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. That's disappointing, too.
Yeah, so I guess I am a little...
A little black and white about your entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's fine.
You know what? But I take that back. With music, okay, let me take it back. Music is an area where I will not like something and then I will come around and I will learn to love it.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing. Movies and TV.
See, and I'm actually more black and white with music than I am with movies and TV and video games. You know, and the thing is, too, I think I'm a little bit more willing. I think I'm a little bit more willing with movies and TV to be subjected to stuff that's not, you know, top tier than I am with video games. I'm choosier with video games. I think because it's much more of a time commitment. You know what I mean? If you're going to sit down to play a game, you're probably going to commit a fair amount of time to it. You know, most games these days. I'm not talking about, you know, just pickup games and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, whereas TV, first of all, you know, you can just kind of watch it and then walk away and it's only 45 minutes, whatever. But, you know, with video games, especially something that's, you know, a big adventure game or you know, an MMO or something. MMOs are the worst in that sense because you have to commit a lot of time to them.
Right. And, well, the problem I have, and that's probably why I don't really get into those RPGs. I mean, I just don't embrace them is because it does take a lot of commitment and time just to get started in it.
It does. And some less than others. I mean, and I think almost any genre is like that. I mean, you know, you could pick any genre and pick some games that you can just pick up and get right into and other games in the same genre that are much more difficult to get into where there's a much higher learning curve.
Well, I don't know. Not so much with like first person shooters.
Well, think about like Half-Life 2 again, going back to my old what am I thinking of? Old Glory.
Your go-to.
My Old Glory. You just start that game. There's no backstory. There's no nothing. You have to know nothing. You just get in and you just start playing. Whereas I've played, you know, plenty of first person shooters that was not the case.
But it's
a much smaller learning curve than it is with an MMO.
Should we just jump into games?
Sure.
Now that we're
talking about games. Just jump into the pool we're already in.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you want me to start?
Yeah, you always.
You're looking at me.
You always start.
Oh, I didn't realize we had tradition here.
Really? After 33 episodes, you didn't realize that?
Well, then I hate to change things up. I played a couple things this week, a couple console things, which I had promised last week, since all I talk about are
iPhone games,
99-cent iPhone games.
when you've done nothing else.
Let's start with Shadow Complex. Shadow Complex is a game that's available on Xbox Arcade, Live Arcade, and this game is awesome, and this is the kind of game that you can just like pick up and immediately, you know.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different controls, and that's really
and that's
all you need.
What kind of game is it?
It is. I would consider it a platformer.
Okay.
I mean, it's a shooter, but it's more of a platformer. In
like
the
side
vein,
scroller.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's done with 3D graphics. So what's weird about it is you can only move left and right or up and down. I mean, you can't move. You know, depth-wise, you can't move.
Right.
But there will be enemies that will be, like, further than you depth-wise.
Right.
You know, further away from you. So you can turn and shoot that way.
Oh, okay.
You just can't move that way.
Right. And so you can turn and shoot, like, down a hall.
Right.
But you can't go down the hall.
Right.
Right.
And that part's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
What was the arcade game, you know, for, again, going back a long time now. What was the arcade game where you had, Rolling Thunder. Does it kind of remind you of Rolling Thunder, but obviously, you know, vastly updated?
Rolling Thunder. You know what? Let me look that up because I don't remember that.
It was like you ran around and there were all these guys, you know, running on the platform side to side just like you. And then there were doors that you could duck into and they would, you know, pass you by. But then the door would automatically open again after a certain amount of time. I'm not saying the mechanics are exactly the same, but the way you're describing sounds kind of like that.
Yeah, you know what? Similar to that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good example.
That was a cool game.
That was a cool game. And you know what? I can't believe I don't remember that.
Yeah. But now you do.
Now I do. You know what? This is actually very similar to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only it's much more, this was a lot more lateral rather than,
and
it didn't go up and down a lot.
Yeah.
This does both.
Yeah.
This does both. There's a lot of like, you know, going into like trapdoors and like.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So it is like that. Spiritual successor to Rolling Thunder, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, actually.
Do you remember the music from Rolling Thunder?
No. Are you going to give us a little? It sounds like the theme to Get Smart.
I think they were kind of going for that vibe.
Oh. I want you to play this. So, I mean, there's really not a lot I can say. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely worth $15 because there's a lot of play in it. I mean, I've been playing for a few hours, and I don't think I'm anywhere near even the halfway point.
Yeah. You know, I never went back to Lode Runner either. I totally forgot that I bought that.
Yeah.
I should probably play that.
You should.
Since I paid for it.
Yeah. This is definitely worth your money more.
Now,
more
did you get Lode Runner? I don't remember. You just get the demo.
No, I played the demo.
And you didn't care for it. Right. Okay. So, you know, the controls were a little squirrely on that game.
Yeah.
It was like a little frenetic. Did you find that?
Definitely.
Yeah. This is not like that?
No.
That's cool.
No, actually, this controls. I mean, it's just, you get comfortable with it right away.
Yeah.
And it's cool. The graphics are cool. There's little cutscenes that kind of tell the story. And like, okay, my one complaint, I told you this at lunch the other day. My one complaint is the guy who does the voice for this, in fact, I can get his name. The guy who does the voice for this is the same guy who does the voice for Drake Uncharted.
Okay.
And Drake's
Fortune. He's going to issue an apology for that incorrect name next week,
Uncharted,
and
Drake's Fortune, and Prince of Persia. And this guy doesn't change his voice at all. So as soon as he started talking, I'm like, this guy again?
Yeah. Well, you know, hey.
Because it's almost
makes
like
people feel comfortable and familiar.
I guess. I mean,
it's Bob
good.
From accounting. Right. In this case, it's the prince from Persia.
Right.
But
I highly recommend it. I want you to check it out.
You know what I'm surprised that Atari has not brought back to us? Also, kind of in the same vein.
What?
Major Havoc. How cool would that be with today's hardware? You can do so much cool stuff with that.
I agree.
Now, anyone who didn't play Major Havoc, it was basically a conversion kit for Atari Tempest games. So, you know, they would take a Tempest cabinet and they would stick new decals on the side and, swap out the ROMs or the motherboard or whatever, and they would have this new game. And so it was a color vector game, and you were the title character, Major Havoc. And it was really cool because it was like a few different styles of gameplay. There was one thing where you were like flying through space and shooting stuff out of your way, right? And then you had to like go through a system of almost like wormhole tunnels that you had to navigate. And then you would get down on a planet and you had to make your way down through this underground complex, avoiding obstacles and shooting bad guys and stuff like that, and pick up some kind of, you know, power generator or something like that, and then take it out, go back to your ship, and then you'd kind of, the levels would get harder and harder as time went on. But it was really cool. There was a lot of cool stuff built into that game. Like, it really felt like there was this whole anti-gravity thing going on, you know what I mean? Because your movement was like kind of funky and a little bit difficult to control because of that, and that was a fun game.
It was a fun game.
Really fun.
I think if they... I mean, you know what they do? They'd come back with it, and it would, like, they'd try to soup it up, and it wouldn't be
right,
the fun
it
that
work,
it was then.
But still, cool idea, though.
I found that guy's name who does the voices for all those games. His name is Nolan North.
Okay.
So now I want to see if he's...
like on IMDb or something?
Yeah, to see if maybe he's done some stuff
other
out of
stuff.
The movies.
Yeah. Who does the DJ on Burnout? Because I feel like I've heard his voice in other places,
yes,
too.
You know what? That's a really good question. And I want to say I knew that.
I'm telling you, it sounds exactly like Billy Bush.
Yeah, he does.
Don't you think? In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was
What's
him.
His name? DJ Crash?
Is it? DJ Crash? Maybe.
I'm putting it in.
Put it in there. See what comes back.
Burnout Paradise.
While Tony's looking that up, I'll go through the theme song from Major Havoc. I mean, from Rolling Thunder again. I've even had enough of it now.
Yeah. Well, why don't you talk about the game you want to talk about, and
okay,
then I'll come
back. Well, I started to play Mothership Zeta, which is the latest add-on for Fallout 3, and I think it's going to be the last one. I'm not sure. But I honestly did not get too far into it. I just didn't have time because I was playing World of Warcraft so much because I'm totally addicted to that game now. And then this is going to be a very Stritch heavy show. Our listener Stritch has been coming through with a lot of good info in the past few days, and he's been telling me some cool stuff about World of Warcraft that I didn't know, and give me some little hints and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about it in the
news? No, I mean, there's not a whole lot of stuff. You know, one thing I guess I will say, because I don't really have much to say about the game. It's been out forever. I'm probably the last person to start playing this game anew. You know what I mean?
Well, other than the person who just started playing it today.
Well, but I mean, are there a lot of those people? But anyway, you know, they announced their third expansion. The first one was Burning Crusade, and then there was Wrath of the Lich King. Is it Lich or Lick? I never know. Is it Lick? L-I-C-H? Or Lich?
I
never know how to pronounce that. Will you look that up? Pronunciation.
I got all so much stuff on.
No, just look it up.
What am I looking up?
Merriam-Webster.com. Lich. Pronunciation. L-I-C-H. I don't know if it's Lich or Lick.
I'd prefer it to...
Lich?
I mean, it's just... That's just...
That's it. I'd prefer it if it was Lich, because I don't want to have to say the Lich King. That just sounds weird. Like you're into some weird kind of thing with, you know, the undead, which I don't want to be a part of.
Okay, I'm looking under Webster's New World College Dictionary.
L-I-C-H. You have to actually type it in.
I did.
Oh.
It gives me this weird pronunciation symbol that I don't know.
Okay, I'm coming over there. Hold on.
where is it?
What?
No F-bombs. No F-bombs.
Okay, can you look it up on Merriam-Webster.com? Because that one will actually be... I don't know. You're on yourdictionary.com.
Yeah, but it took it from Webster's Dictionary.
I know, but it's not... It's a bad one. Everyone here, I am formally denouncing yourdictionary.com.
Merriam-Webster.com?
Yeah. How is Merriam? I'm just kidding.
So what am I looking up?
The same exact word. See, this is what I go through every week, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me.
Symbols.
That was me doing a little clear. Boy, it is so hot in here.
It's
Don't you think it's hot in here? It can't just be me. It's got to be hot in here.
It wants me to join something before I can
get the definition. No, it doesn't want you to join anything.
Yeah, it does.
All right, you talk. You talk. I'm going to look it up.
This can be found at...
Oh, no.
See, Lou's already... What are you doing? Oh, Lou is messing up my computer.
I'm creating security problems
for Tony. So I'm supposed to be talking right now. Well, you know what? I'll start talking about... Well, you were in the middle of your talk.
No, just go ahead.
This is the most unorganized podcast I think we've had.
Okay, I don't know what's going on.
No. Let's just call it...
I'm just going to call it Lich because I don't like to say the Lick King. Doesn't that sound bad?
Well,
but anyway, so the next one is called...
Depends on who you're talking to.
Next subject. So the next one is called Cataclysm. And from what Stritch told me, because, you know, admittedly, I haven't read up on this a lot, the entire world of Azeroth is going to be basically destroyed in this next expansion. So now I feel kind of almost cheated in a way because I haven't gotten to see the whole world yet. And there's no way I'm going to have time enough to play the game enough to see the whole thing before this happens, I don't think. So it's kind of a drag. You know, because there are a lot of cool landscapes and a lot of lush landscapes. And
Why did you wait so long?
That's not really the issue here, is it? I'm just saying, if you have a World of Warcraft character and you haven't been in for a while and you miss that world, go back there now because it ain't going to be around too long. That's all I'm saying. Okay, and so my other little bit of stretchness for today's show is that he sent me a link to this trailer that I had not seen before. It's actually more of a commercial for, remember that game Serious Sam? Was a first-person shooter. Well, they either redid it or are redoing it with a new engine so that it's all, you know, they're calling it Serious Sam HD. The commercial for it is absolutely hilarious. It's just so strange. You watched it, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say so strange is a good way to describe it?
Yeah. I don't even know how to react to it. I mean, there were some funny things in it, but...
It's pretty funny. I mean, they made fun of themselves and infomercials all in the same space, so I thought it was pretty funny from that standpoint. I'll post a link to it on pause.com.
Hey, I want to give you a little background on some of the people I've been looking up.
Okay.
So the name of the guy who does... It's DJ Atomica.
DJ Atomica.
On Burnout Paradise.
Crash would have been more appropriate, but that's fine.
His name is Andre Sagliuzzi.
So it's not Billy Bush?
It is not Billy Bush. But you know, he also does... Now, you saw this movie. I didn't see it. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. He does the voice of Sideswipe.
Yeah, I don't
know. Are you aware of who that is?
I mean, I remember the name being said, but, you know, to be quite honest, the action in that movie is so fast that I couldn't tell who the hell was who.
But
could have been a robot. Could have been Shia LaBeouf.
He's done a lot of video game voices, but not as much as Nolan North, the guy who does the voice in Shadow Complex. And this guy's been in, like, every video game.
Really?
Well, not every, but...
A lot of them.
A lot. I mean, all the way back to, like, Halo 3.
See, I want to be in more video games. So you out there casting for video games, please contact me. Because I've done some before.
And stop hiring Nolan North.
I wish him no ill, but I wish me less ill than I wish him, if that makes any sense.
I can't. You name a video game and he did a voice in it.
Really?
Well, Tomb Raider. I didn't really want you to do that, but really.
You said it. It's out there. So anyone, write in podcast@pause.com, name a video game, and Tony guarantees you that Nolan North has done a voice for it. And
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Was he the main guy?
Lost Planet? No.
Oh. Was he the main girl?
Destroy All Humans, Big Willy Unleashed.
Wow. Did you ever play any of those games?
Yeah, you know what?
It was kind of fun.
It was fun. I mean, I played the first one.
Yeah, those were fun. Okay, so the PS3 Slim is now available.
I didn't talk about my other game.
Oh, I got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
It's kind of
the
big game I want to talk
about. Okay, let's go back. I forgot.
Batman, Arkham Asylum.
Right there.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you got it for the...
Got it for the PS3. I kind of regret doing so. Yeah. I mean, the reason I did it, as I mentioned last week, is because you, in one of the challenge modes, you get to play as the Joker.
Right.
But I just so prefer the Xbox 360 control.
Could I just mention a funny aside? We went to GameStop yesterday so that Tony could buy this. And the guy behind the counter was talking a little bit about playing as the Joker and some other things that were had to do with, like, if you had pre-ordered the game, which you didn't, so you didn't get some of this extra content.
In fact, he had opened the package and taken the thing out.
Which is rude.
Yeah.
But anyway, so So then he says, you know, one of the cool things if you pre-ordered it is that you can play this level, you know, having to do with the Scarecrow, which is really cool because then, you know, all the enemies are skeletons. It's like, well, what do skeletons have to do with Scarecrows? Those two things don't automatically go together. I had no idea what he was talking about. Yeah. That made no sense.
Well, we'll never know. We didn't pre-order.
No.
This game is really cool. It's a third-person action. And let me just say, first of all, when you start the game, the first, like, cinematic is so cool. And it just, you know, I love that world, the whole Batman Gotham world. And it's just done so well. And it's like a movie. And actually playing it, I mean, obviously you don't feel like you're playing in a movie, but the story progresses like a movie would. Now, part of the reason is probably because I have more interest in this than I do in other, like, a lot of times I'll play a game that has a story and I'm not interested in the story. I just want to play the game.
Right.
Here, I feel like I'm getting a little more of an experience because I love the whole Batman mythos. Right.
But you think that's more, or at least a combination of your preference and the game rather than just the game, right?
Than just the game. But okay. I think the game does, I mean, I
do
think,
it well.
On the other hand, it could have disappointed me greatly if it lacked in any of that. I mean, I probably would have been a little more critical with that than I would have if it was a story that I knew nothing about.
Right. And again, this is based on the comics and not the movies. Right? Or the cartoons?
No, the comics.
Okay.
Probably an amalgamation of all of it, but probably closer to the graphic novels.
But it doesn't have to do with the movies.
It does not, no.
Right. Okay.
It does not. What's really cool is, so far, I mean, there's clues that there are just about any character you can think of other than, like, Robin or Batgirl.
Yeah.
In this. So you've... It unlocks, you know, when you do certain things, it unlocks, like, you know, little, let's say, playing cards, though they're not, but, like, you know, little bios of each of the characters.
Dossiers.
And it gives you little background on them, like when they first appeared in Batman comics.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And, like, their history.
Right.
Like, it's really cool. There's all kinds of stuff you can find in a little exploration, you know, the exploration part of it. But there's also, there's a lot of stuff to do in it. I'm still adapting to, you know, all the controls, especially with the PS3 controller.
Yeah.
Because,
Now, what's another game that you would compare it to, kind of? I mean, at least in the same, I mean, is it like a Tomb Raider or is it more like a third person, you know,
Half-Life?
No,
there's more
or is it...
combat than Tomb Raider.
Okay.
But I have to say the combat, you know, sometimes combat can be a downer for me.
Sure.
Because, you know, especially if it's a lot of, like, you know, combos.
Button mashing.
Yeah,
combos.
I mean,
we don't like combos. At this age, the only combos we really like have a pretzel coating.
And a cheesy center.
Exactly.
No, I have to say, I mean, there's a little of that combo and button mashing, but you don't have to hit them certain ways or hit them like 1,000 times for them to die.
Right.
You pretty much only have to hit them twice.
Yeah.
To
die. That's cool.
It's more about how do you approach them. Like if there's a lot of them, there's ways to sneak up on them and take them silently. So it's not so much about like blocking or, you know, so far.
Right.
It's not really so much about the timing as it is just about approaching how you're going to fight them. And,
right.
And, you know, not the luck of what button you press at the time.
Right.
Or well, what combination you hit. So that being said, with the combat and the action and the exploration, I don't really know what to compare it to, except maybe... I mean, what's frustrating is, like, a lot of... Batman doesn't use a gun.
Yeah, right.
So at no point... I mean, you have your Batarang, but at no point do you get to, like, shoot people.
Can you hit him with the Batarang?
Yeah, but, I mean, right now, I just upgraded my Batarang, so, I mean, it's still not enough to,
kill them.
You
put in some energizers or something? How do you upgrade
it? No, I mean,
that?
There's upgrades. Oh, okay. As you earn more experience points, there's upgrades. But, I mean, I'd like to get a point where I can just hit someone and kill them, but all it really does is knock them down. You still got to go over. You got to finish them, you know,
sure.
In melee.
Sure, finish them off.
So,
Is there a bat pod, bat car, bat plane, bat copter, bat cycle? Batboat.
I don't know that there are any vehicle levels
what?
So far. The Batmobile is in it, but it's
Bat Segway.
It's been vandalized.
No
so
Bat Segway.
No Segway.
Bat skateboard.
No, but you know what's really cool is you don't fall off of anything. Anything that you're on, you can jump down from, and you can glide down with your cape.
Ah.
A lot of fun. A lot of gliding fun.
That's pretty cool.
And you can grapple just about anywhere.
Eat it, Ion.
So kind of like in the vein of Spider-Man, you know, using his web, you can grapple just about anywhere. So that's a lot of fun as well.
That is pretty cool.
But
It takes place in the city of Gotham?
Just in Arkham Asylum.
Oh, wow.
So, which is on an island, but a big island.
It's all indoors?
No, some of it's outside.
Oh, okay.
But it's a fairly big island.
Sure, right. Like Alcatraz.
But you can see Gotham off in the distance from one of the, you know, exterior.
Do you have super like binocular vision so you can spy on people through their bedroom?
You get
windows?
All you gain gadgets as the you know.
But
game
can you
progresses.
Can you do that? Can you look over into Gotham and see people like in their apartments like doing
not
it?
Not that far, no. Oh. But there is detective mode. When you click on detective mode, you can see like enemies and like you know and not enemies,
right?
Like through. For lack of a word coming to me
the
at that
technical
moment.
Technical crime detective term for people who are not enemies is not enemies.
But when you're in detective mode, you can see like...
bad guys.
You can see like through walls and stuff.
Right.
It's very cool.
That
I
is
can't
cool.
say enough cool
did
stuff.
You, by the way, did you notice when we were at the store, did you notice the ginormous collector's edition?
Yeah.
What's up with that? What was that? It was like a giant Nerf bat or something. I don't know what that was. Either that or like a really terrible hat. I couldn't tell what it was. It was this huge box with a huge bat something in it. It had to be like almost 2 feet across, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty huge. I don't know what that was, though.
I'm going to find out for you.
Did you want to say anything else about it?
No.
Okay. It sounds really cool, though.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And they have it on PC.
You played other Batman games, right? You were not crazy about them?
They all stink.
Okay. Official review right
they
here.
They all stink.
They all stink. okay, so where was I? So by the way, those of you who are Guild Wars fans, I had a little exclusive Q&A with Mike O'Brien, who's the head of ArenaNet, last week and posted some of his questions about the mechanics of the event system that they're implementing for Guild Wars 2. So definitely go on pause.com and check that out. Some pretty cool info in there. The first LEGO Universe in-game screenshots are online. We'll post those so you can take a look at them. Xbox 360 is cheaper as of tomorrow. The Elite is going to be $300 without HDMI cable. Because, you know, what is it with the HDMI cable conspiracy? What's that whole thing about? You know, you go to Best Buy or Apt or any of
they're
these other stores.
They
are. There's a lot of cahoots going on. And they charge you like $50, $60 for an HDMI cable. Meanwhile, you can go on eBay and get one for $3. Right. Doesn't that seem a little strange? And I've done that before. I got a $5 HDMI cable off of eBay, and it works fine.
Yeah, you know what? I actually...
you had one that was bad, right?
No, that was one of those mini HDMI for my camcorder.
Oh, okay.
But regular ones. I've bought them, most of them on eBay. Or at... You know, if you go to, like a discount... I went to Micro Center. Is that... What's the name of that place?
Yeah, Micro Center.
Micro Center. They sell them cheap there.
I don't know that that's national, though. That might just be around here. I don't know.
Well, it's worth the trip because it's cheap.
Really? Worth the trip to Chicago to buy a cable. I'm going to start a store called Cables That Are Not a Ripoff, and that's all I'm going to sell.
Well, I like the idea. We might want to work on the name.
Okay. I'll throw out some ideas. Cables that are much cheaper than Best Buy?
By the way, that Batman collector's thing, it comes with a Batarang.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it works.
It also comes with an embossed leather dust jacket.
Does it come with a game?
That's not a jacket that you wear. It's a jacket for the game.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't want that. I won't be buying that. IGN has about 20 minutes of gameplay videos online for Star Wars The Old Republic. We just watched one of them, and I don't know what I think of it. Like, it didn't really look exciting to me.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like... everything else.
Yeah, it did.
And you know, even NCSoft tried a space-based MMO with Richard Garriott's... No, Tabula Rasa. And
with
did
Richard
not,
Gere, you said?
Richard Garriott's.
Oh, said Richard Gere.
No, I don't think Richard Gere is making MMOs yet. I think he's still got a few movies left in him. Those little beady eyes of his. Maybe he's going to be in one of the next Twilight movies. But anyway...
I thought those were slanty eyes.
Slitty.
Slitty.
Yeah. Slanty is something different that we don't want to get into. Yeah.
Oops.
I don't know. It just, you know, I guess I expected, based on that trailer from E3 that was so phenomenal,
right.
I guess I expected that when I finally got to see the gameplay footage, I would see something that was so, you know, mind-blowingly cool. And visually, and I realize it's just a video, so it's not going to do it justice.
Right.
But it just didn't look that exciting to me.
No,
and again, we just talked about this before we started recording. I don't understand why it is that Guild Wars seems to be the only MMO that has done smoothing on the camera and character motion. It makes such a huge difference. Why don't people do that?
Right.
But you know what? I'm glad. Then it gives them another little edge. But anyway... So go check that out on IGN. And then there was a report that Stargate Worlds has received new funding and is still in development, But again, that's another one that I almost have to wonder why. I mean, again, big fan of the franchise. Love the mythos of the whole thing. The screenshots I've seen have not looked promising. It just seems like it's taken them way too long, and it seems like it's going to be very outdated looking by the time it's ever released, if it is ever released. So who knows what's going on with that. But anyway, that's pretty much all I have for games. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV now. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm, like, this time of year is kind of annoying for me because, you know, summer is already dreadful when it comes to TV. There's almost nothing on. Yeah. And then now it's like everything's been announced for the fall, but nothing's on yet, really.
Right.
So it's just kind of this annoying time of year with regard to TV.
Well, and I get a little anxious because I'm afraid that I'm going to miss things that are starting.
Right, right. And I don't trust any of the DVRs to, like, get it right.
No, I know. And I kind of rely on Entertainment Weekly. I mean, because they're pretty good at covering stuff that opens, and, you know, their calendar in there is pretty,
pretty
good. They don't usually leave stuff out that I, you know, would want to see that I haven't stumbled upon already.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. That's your whole thought.
I don't know what more you're expecting.
Have you watched anything in the last
week? I don't
have
a lot this week, no.
Did we talk about Top Chef? I know we talked about who won Top Chef Masters.
Yes, but I don't think we talked specifically about...
the first episode of Top Chef, or about the end in general.
Right, because I don't think we had seen it. I think we just knew who would...
Right.
But I have seen it.
Yeah, I have too. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot. Let me just say, of any dinner... ever in the world, I would have loved to have been at that dinner.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about it. Hubert Keller, Rick Bayless, and Michael Chiarello, all of whom had pretty good stuff throughout the season.
Right.
And the stuff just looked phenomenal. There were, you know, I'm not a huge seafood fan, so there are always going to be things that chefs make that I don't care for because I just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're, no, I'm not criticizing you here, but you don't venture too far out of your culinary box.
I don't know if I'd say that's true. I mean, I guess it depends on how big the box is. I mean, I like...
Name something...
Well, I mean, I like, you know, it's not just like I eat Italian food and steak and potato. I'm not at all a meat and potatoes person. Like, I don't... That's not what I would choose when I go out to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Italian food. I like French food. I like Spanish food. I love Spanish food. Mexican food, Indian food... all sorts of Asian food. I mean, I don't think that's a pretty small box to be in.
No, but I think when you choose within those, I mean, you just said you don't like any seafood. I mean, so you...
I mean...
Do you like anything exotic? Like, would you ever eat, like, sweetbreads or liver?
No, I just don't... I don't like those things. I mean, I used to eat...
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I guess when I usually hear people say, well, you don't venture too far culinarily, I usually think that means they're confined to a very small type of food that they like. Like, I know people who only eat steak and potatoes, basically.
Right.
You know, I'm not at all like that.
No.
I mean, I like just about everything else. I just don't like seafood. And, you know...
Well, that's a huge portion of...
Yeah. But I eat shrimp, and you don't eat shrimp.
Yeah, but that's about the only thing I don't eat.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't... You know, I don't really... Let's put it this way. There have been chefs who I've kind of known on a little bit more personal basis who have made things that I would not normally eat that I've eaten because they made it and asked, you know, like gave it to me to try.
Right.
And I've thought they were fantastic.
Right.
But it's still not stuff that I would order. I mean,
like,
there's a reason that McDonald's doesn't have a sweet meats burger. Because, you know.
Yeah, because McDonald's demographic are.
No, but that's not the point. Okay.
No, that is the point.
Okay, but that's fine for McDonald's. The majority of restaurants do not serve sweet meats or sweet breads or liver because most people don't like that
stuff. Yeah, but the majority of restaurants, their demographic is a wide range of people.
Yeah, right. And so what I'm saying is if a wide range of people doesn't like something, it's not exactly a limited culinary palate. That's mass market.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it has to do with because they don't want to venture. It's out of their safety zone.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, let me just tell you a couple of things.
Like, I absolutely hate the taste of liver.
See, no, I love
it. It's not
liver.
That I'm afraid to try it. I have tried it, and I don't like it.
In any form. You don't like foie gras? You don't like...
No, I love foie gras.
Well, that's liver.
I know. I thought you were speaking specifically about, like, beef liver. No, I love foie gras. That's good
stuff. I mean, as far, so maybe it's a texture thing you don't like, because the taste is pretty similar.
Well, it's bitter, isn't it? Isn't liver kind of bitter? Because I don't like anything bitter.
Well, I wouldn't use the word bitter. It's a little gamey.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind that, though. I've had crocodile. I think that's pretty cool.
What about
duck? I love
frog
duck.
Legs. Would you eat frog legs?
Sure. I've had frog legs. It's good stuff.
Blood sausage?
I've had blood sausage. Good stuff.
Okay, well.
You ready to take it back yet, mister?
Take it back, yeah. Well, I didn't say anything right there.
No,
did I?
You know, and I do like some fish. I like fish that is, you know, I don't care what anybody says. Most fish, no matter how good the restaurant is, smells fishy.
No, and, absolutely not.
I'm sorry. I have gone to some—
Well, then you're very sensitive to it.
Super expensive restaurants where it's like, I was almost gagging because
well,
of how fishy.
Well, some fish is fishy. I mean, you can't right. get around it.
But that's what I don't
is
like.
Fishy.
But I don't— but
Oh, you can't,
God, I hate
You
salmon.
Can't say most fish is fishy. Swordfish isn't fishy.
No, but I love swordfish. You know, I don't like things that smell fishy. It's okay. Not an appealing smell to me, and I don't want to eat something that smells that way. You know what I'm saying?
What if you held your nose?
Well, why would I do that? That would make me look ridiculous while I'm eating something that I hate, which
well,
is even
what,
more
that's
ridiculous.
That's really what I'm going for here.
Yeah, apparently. Name some other foods.
Well, no. I mean, you've proven, you know.
Oh, wait, okay,
I
now
thought
let's...
for sure you were going to scoff at the blood sausage
no,
and the
no,
frog legs.
No, I've had both of those. Those are good. Like snails, I've tried snails, don't like them. Caviar, I don't care for. It's
oh,
so salty. It's just, I don't really get it.
Yeah.
You know? Jackie Mason used to do a line of jokes.
In the 60s.
Yeah, but it's funny because he used to talk about how there were a lot of, you know, fancy quote-unquote foods that he didn't like, and people would say, oh, you got to acquire a taste for it. And he would say, why do I have to acquire a taste? I don't have to acquire a taste for potato chip. I don't have to acquire a taste for a hot dog. I'll eat those foods. You know, it's yeah. like, and then he went and ate some ants with the Pink Panther. But what is, I always get confused. Sweetbreads, sweet meats, what are they?
Sweet meats, I don't know, but sweetbreads are intestines, are they not?
Which ones are, I thought one was brands and one was testicles.
I don't know, brains.
Yeah, because I thought either sweetbreads or sweet meats is brains.
Sweetbreads are the thymus gland and the pancreas.
Sweetbreads?
Yes.
What about sweet meats?
I'm getting nothing. Hold on.
Are you people getting grossed out, by the way, listening to this? Because most people wouldn't eat those things.
I just came to sweetmeats.com, which are sweet meats plush toys.
I'm pretty sure that's not what's being served at fine French restaurants everywhere.
It's also a adult entertainment site. Yeah, you know what? I don't.
We don't need to go there. Then you'll really have a virus on your computer. Not just the one we think.
I don't
you might
see
have.
Anything about sweet meats.
Okay.
I mean, I see stuff, but I don't really know.
The thymus. Did you say the thymus gland of the pancreas?
And the pancreas.
And
the
pancreas.
Pancreas.
Where does the thymus gland come from? What part of the body? Is it near the pancreas?
I would assume.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought one of them was brains.
Very good at,
You know, he's criticizing me for something he doesn't even know what it is.
But it's good. I know it's good.
So anyway, so Top Chef Masters, those last three meals.
I forgot what we were talking about.
Those last three meals looked phenomenal. Yeah. There was one thing from each of those meals that I would have just absolutely loved to have tried.
Right.
And that mole, from what everyone was saying, and just knowing how much I love mole in general, and knowing that I've never had.
He serves that at his restaurant regularly.
I don't know. He should if he doesn't. I mean, especially now with him having won. But is most mole chocolate based?
Not
Oaxacan.
Not most, but how do we put it? It very commonly can be,
okay.
But does not necessarily have to be.
I gotcha. Yeah, I've had things that were called mole that didn't taste at all chocolatey.
Right.
The place by our house, though, which is just this little, you know, hole-in-the-wall kind of Mexican place down the street, their mole is really good. It tastes like there's some cinnamon in it, too. Does that sound common? Or
yeah, I mean, but there's some moles that don't have a sweetness or that yeah. kind of spice. It can be very spicy.
Yeah.
It's mole is more based on the pepper.
Yeah. Gotcha. 27 ingredients in his mole. Incredible. And then Michael Chiarello's short rib looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And then what was the thing that Hubert Keller made that looked really, really good?
I like that stew he made, the first thing when he was telling that story about.
Right. Now, didn't you get the sense during the course of the season that Michael Chiarello is probably kind of a jerk?
No.
Really? I kind of got that impression.
No. Well, you know, as someone, and if, well, I'm just going to say, you know, a lot of chefs.
Have an ego,
right?
Well, sure, you
so
have to be.
Most chefs, I'm not saying all chefs.
Right. Well, you kind of have to
But a lot
be.
Of chefs are jerks.
Yeah.
So.
In one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, mostly in jerkiness.
No, but I mean, they might not be a jerk to everyone, but they can be a jerk in certain situations when it suits their profession, especially.
Right. You know, I think a lot of it is because they're so behind the scenes that they feel they need to make their presence known. No, really.
It may be true.
I mean, just that's always a career I kind of thought about, but it's something you'd really have to start young because it's so much about paying your dues.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go years and years and years of not doing nothing but like making salads.
Right.
Before you get anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of understand some of that, you know,
yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Just treat people nicely. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're asking for.
But any chefs that are listening to this, I mean.
You're the best. Yeah. Especially you. I also watched another Warehouse 13. I love that show. Yeah. It's one of those shows that you kind of like feel comfortable watching.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. Blah, blah, blah. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so
I don't know what any of that is.
Paula Abdul will not be on American Idol because she's going to be hosting VH1's Divas. Does anyone watch VH1 anymore?
That's just like a one-time thing, though.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Well, I mean, it's not something that could take away from American Idol. It's just like it's Divas
Live.
Oh,
like a special?
Yeah, it's Divas Live.
I don't know what that means.
Remember those Divas Live concerts?
No. Are you sure that's that? Are you sure that's what that is?
Yeah. September 17th concert special of VH1 Divas.
Okay. Then you're right. It has nothing to do with it.
You don't remember the VH1 Divas Live?
Why would I ever watch that?
Well, I mean, it's on TV. You're not aware of it? I mean, they did all kinds of...
No.
I mean, it was years ago.
No.
They're just bringing it back.
No.
See, now you're closing. Now you're adamant about, like, I don't even want to know about.
No, it's not that I don't want to know about it. I'm just saying, why would you automatically
because
think that I
wouldn't
know
about it? Because there was a lot of press surrounding those. I mean, that's where they brought on, like, all these big female performers to perform together.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, move on.
Apparently, the tons of press coverage that you thought they had wasn't very
effective.
They did.
Everyone knows about it, except for you.
Everyone?
Yeah.
I'm the only person.
Yeah.
So if you ask my grandma.
Well, I mean, other than your World of Warcraft friends, they probably don't know.
You mean like my grandma? Grandma's young line later, by the way.
But they can
don't hog all the loot.
Okay, maybe someone who speaks Orcish doesn't know about VH1 Divas Live, but
what about somebody who lives on a little big planet? Would they know?
Yes, actually, they would, because
okay.
I do.
All right, so Neil Patrick Harris guest judged the day two auditions for the next season of American Idol in Dallas. Within the last couple days, I think they taped that. Because, you know, those are all broken up. You know, we talked about that last year. There's the first group of auditions that happened already earlier this year, and now they're doing the auditions where the judges are actually present, and so we know that Neil Patrick Harris is one of the judges. He really gets around, huh?
Yeah, he does.
I mean,
he does a lot of judging on things that he has no background in.
Food, singing, what else? Acting.
Oh, he's a good actor.
I think so too. I think he's a good actor, and he seems like a nice guy. Like he seems like he has a healthy sense of humor about himself and his profession and stuff. So that's always cool to see. Summer Glau will be joining the cast of Dollhouse this fall. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Like I don't know who that is.
Summer Glau was the lead.
Should everyone know who that is?
She was the lead on Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. She was, you know, the Terminator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like her.
And she was the girl in Firefly who played, I can't remember. Did you watch Firefly?
No.
Oh.
I was watching Divas Live.
When Firefly was on. When Firefly was being canceled. But I don't know if you want to take two Josh Whedon lead females and put them in the same thing. Couldn't they like maybe explode or something? Plus, there are some similarities.
I would watch that.
Top Chefs. Oh, by the way, speaking of Top Chef. Okay, so on the first episode of the regular Top Chef, did you want to bring up, by the way, how you thought Kelly Choi was intimidated by Padma Lakshmi?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that the way she acted was a little different during that final dinner. Because, you know, the final dinner on Top Chef Masters, they had all the five winners of Top Chef previous winners of Top Chef and the hosts.
Right.
And Kelly Choi, there just was something a little different about her with Padma sitting at the table.
Yeah. Like she was no longer the alpha.
No.
Yeah. It you know, it must be a hard light to try to appear in.
Right.
The light of Padma Lakshmi, which makes this sound. And then this sound.
Because she likes to drink.
Because she likes to drink. Right? But anyway.
Say the rest of it.
But anyway. So on the first episode of Top Chef, you know, there was this, they did that thing. What does mise en place mean?
Mise en place is preparing things for before you cook.
Okay. Prep work.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did the mise en place, which usually they bust out halfway through the season. But this was the first episode. They do the mise en place relay race. And one of the things that they had to do was shuck clams, right?
Yes.
And one of the people, it was so funny because they showed the teams talking about who was going to do what on each team. And they get to this girl, Preeti, who they said, okay, so you know how to shuck clams? And she's like, not really. Is it like oysters? And they're like, no, it's totally different. And then they start with her doing it anyway. Wouldn't one of the other people on the team have said, you know what, maybe I should do that?
Right.
But no, so they let her do it. She didn't even finish by the time the two winning teams were done
right.
with their entire relay race. She didn't even finish her clams. And she is the head chef at the cafeteria at Googleplex. She's like Google's head chef.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I read online, unless it was a big fat lie. But so I don't think people are going to find clams on the menu there.
No.
Apparently. That's got to be somewhat embarrassing. I've never seen that happen on that show before, where somebody simply did not finish the first task.
Right.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
No. Well, you wouldn't have because it's the same on your TV as it is on mine, I guess. So.
Right.
What's the matter
Nothing.
Now?
I'm just following along.
Okay. X-Files might get rebooted, and IO9 asks the question, doesn't Fringe already do that nicely? And I don't think so at all. I mean, I think X-Files, first of all, I think X-Files had a much bigger following than Fringe has. And I like to watch Fringe, but I think X-Files had a much bigger following, and there was a much better chemistry between Skulder and Mully. Mulder and Scully.
I didn't even watch that, and I know that's wrong.
than there is between Olivia and anybody on Fringe. I mean, she's so cold. She's such a cold fish that you can't really have chemistry with her.
She's like an ice cream cone.
She's a little bit like an ice cream cone
yeah.
in her coldness.
I was quoting Mick Jagger there.
Oh, okay.
From the Rolling Stones hit, She's So Cold.
What was he on, VH1 Divas?
No.
I have heard of him.
No, but Elton John was.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, actually.
With Tina Turner and Cher. So do the math.
Wow. Do the math. Have you ever seen anything about what, like, the lyrics? Because the lyrics of some of his songs, you know, his bigger songs from the 70s, were not always, you know, crystal clear in terms of their actual meaning.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever research that at all?
No.
Because I know you're pretty into Elton John, right?
Yeah, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
But in high school. And
like, okay, jokes aside, I would love to know what Rocket Man was really about, you know, or what was the impetus for writing that song?
Right.
And same with Daniel. I mean, that's a beautiful song, you know. Was there an actual Daniel? Uh-huh. Was it just something he made up or whatever?
Bernie Taupin. You'll have to talk to him.
He wrote the lyrics?
He wrote all of his lyrics.
Oh.
Elton John wrote all the music. He wrote all the lyrics.
Oh. How about that?
Yep.
Kind of like Andrew Lloyd Webber, or as my wife says, Andrew Lloyd Wright. And... She always gets.
I love that.
She always like crosses people's names. You know what I mean? I think I may have mentioned this before. She, on the occasion that she has to mention Siegfried and Roy,
uh-huh.
it always comes out Sig, Friedmund, and Royd. I don't know who those people are.
It's very funny.
It is pretty funny, but anyway. And then Tony Danza is going to be co-teaching a 10th grade English class at Philadelphia's Northeast High for a reality show on A&E called Teach.
What?
With hidden cameras. I don't really know what's supposed to happen.
Right, exactly.
Other than maybe the kid's not getting the best education in the world. But, you know, I shouldn't say that.
Is he supposed to be undercover and no one's going to know it's Tony Danza?
I don't know. Maybe he's going to wear a mustache
or
something. I don't know. I like Tony Danza, though.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very likable guy.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't know why you would do this, though.
But I don't. Apparently, someone needs some money.
Apparently. So I guess we're going to find out. But I don't even know if I'm going to watch that. That just sounds too boring. Unless it's going to end up being like a kids say the darndest things kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But even then, I don't know if I need to watch that. Anyway, that's pretty much all I have for TV. You have anything else?
Nope.
Okay, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about movies now, and we can finally talk about District 9 because we've both seen it now.
Yes.
And what did you think?
I loved it.
I also loved it.
I loved it because I didn't know what to expect. We knew nothing of the story. We knew nothing.
Well, you knew the premise, and that was pretty much it.
The slight premise.
Right. You knew that aliens were stuck over
but
South
you didn't
Africa,
know
and
that,
that's it.
You didn't know that the story revolved around this guy who was turning into one of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
I loved it because I didn't know what to, I didn't know what to expect.
And it wasn't based on it wasn't a sequel. It wasn't a remake.
Right.
It wasn't a this or that or whatever.
There were no big names or huge. Yeah, there were special effects, but they weren't like in your face, you know.
Right. Although they were pretty cool.
They were cool. They didn't take the place of the story.
Yeah. You know what was great about the special effects in District 9 was that they were so subtle.
And realistic.
It was very.
Right. It was not Michael Bay.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's going to come out with a movie called This Movie Is Not by Michael Bay? And then really, I think then my store called Cables That Are Not Super Expensive will really take off. Because it'll be like
That is not a world I want to live in.
Okay. So anyway.
There was a lot of heart to that movie. That's one of the reasons I really liked it. It was like, it wasn't just like...
There was, but I really feel like most of the heart in that movie was from the aliens.
Yeah.
That's not from the people.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it really was a statement, I think, because I've been reading all this stuff about it since I saw it, because I've kind of been a little obsessed with it. So I've been reading all this stuff, and they were saying that there are underlying things about apartheid, like it's a message about apartheid and racism and that. And, like, I totally, like, you feel that.
Yes.
Watching that.
Yes. I mean, without
being hit over the head with it.
Right. What was nice was, let's put it this way. I think if you're aware that whole situation exists, you're somewhat hit over the head with it automatically because you can't help disassociate the two.
Sure.
But as somebody who's not knowledgeable about that, you can enjoy the movie just on the surface.
Without getting that context.
Right.
Sure.
And what I think was really nice about it was that he didn't make the aliens two-dimensional. He made them very three-dimensional. Granted, there were some things about the aliens that are being kind of called to the carpet as being kind of racist in and of themselves. Like, if it's analogous to the situation over there, then why are they all like, garbage dwelling, garbage eating, kind of dirty creatures? You know what I mean? So from that standpoint, there are people that are complaining about that. But
the point
that I'm trying to make is that it wasn't the kind of thing where the aliens are bad because they're different and they don't, they don't look like us.
Right.
There were some aliens that were just kind of wandering around doing nothing. There were some aliens who were a little bit more industrious. There were some who were violent. There were some who were peaceful. And the relationship between the main alien and his son was so touching.
Totally.
And so realistic in so many ways. And it was so neat watching that movie as a pretty new dad, like seeing that father alien go back and forth between like, educating his son and obviously being proud of him and like getting annoyed with him, going back and forth between that.
Right.
I thought that was really cool. I thought he did that very well.
Yeah.
I've heard some people complain about the physical look of the aliens. I thought they were really cool.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people saying, oh, it looks just like Watto from the first, Star Wars prequel. I'm like, what? I didn't get that at all.
No.
Like there was nothing in that movie that made me think of Star Wars except spaceships.
Right.
And aliens. And sci-fi and tauntauns. But okay, so what were some other things that
I thought that actor was great.
Yeah, he was really good.
Reading, he isn't even really an actor.
So tell me the deal behind that. What's
apparently he's just a friend of the director, and he's kind of he makes like movies, or he works like behind the scenes.
Okay.
And he his friend called and said, hey, I'm making a movie. You know the whole story behind how this movie got made.
No, go ahead and tell people. He made a short film, right?
He made commercials and short films. He made a lot of really good Nike commercials and like was good at using like effects and commercials and short films. So Peter Jackson was making the Halo movie, he brought this guy on board, and this guy was going to direct the Halo movie.
Okay.
Well, then the studio, you know, at the last minute, you know, dropped the axe on the Halo movie. So then this guy had this story already in mind.
But he made a short film before this.
Right, which is kind of the premise.
Right.
So, well, then he went to, you know, because Peter Jackson and him were going to work on Halo 3 together. Then, you know, then they worked together. This was their project, you know,
that
because they were so disappointed because
they couldn't
make
Halo
that they made this project instead.
Now, with the short film and maybe even with some of the interviews that were in District 9, what I read was that when he was doing the interviews, he was interviewing real people about apartheid. But then he was editing it in such a way that it was in the context of the aliens.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So a lot of the answers that they were giving were about, you know, one group of people talking about another group of people.
That's interesting.
But they thought that they were just being interviewed about that, but then he cut it together in the context of his, you know, his aliens. Now, there were a couple of things about the movie that people mentioned. Well, there was one thing that I couldn't quite figure out about the film that kind of bugged me. And then there were a few things that other people mentioned, and I think you said the same thing, that you read some stuff afterwards that you're kind of like, yeah, I guess I can see your point. Negative things about the movie. And one was that a friend of mine said that he didn't like the movie at all. He thought it was very derivative of some other stuff, but he's got a much bigger knowledge base for, like, especially B-movies than I have.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that he's seen that I will never see. But he also, and he didn't like the alien design, but he also said that he didn't like the movie because he didn't think that Vickis, the lead guy, was likable at all. He said, well, you know, the entire movie, he was just out for himself, which I kind of see the point to that because he never really did anything that wasn't personally motivated for his own self-preservation. He didn't do anything good for the aliens just for them that he, you know, gave up anything of his own. You know what I mean?
Right. But I think he redeems himself at the end.
In what capacity?
Well, he is instrumental in, you know.
Right. And he is instrumental, but again, the reason he does it is because he knows this guy can help turn him back.
Right.
Get him back, hopefully.
But I mean, did I not get the end of the movie correctly? I mean, he does help them and he doesn't get helped himself.
Right, but he's helping them because he knows the guy can help him. It's a, you know, you scratch my back.
No, not near the end. Near the end, he knew that he wasn't going to, what was it, like 3 years?
Yeah.
He still saved them.
Yeah. No, I know, but.
No, I think we saw that he came to the realization that he wasn't going to be changed.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. I just think that,
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I understand that he wasn't very likable in everything he was doing for himself.
Right.
Part of me, you know, still felt for him a little because, I mean, he's
sure, because of what happened. And I don't want to say too much because, you know, I'm sure there's still
I think we've already said a lot. But I didn't think he needed to be completely likable because, to be honest, he wasn't the character that I was emotionally tied to. It was the alien.
I know. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great, too? And there were, let's just say, for all the political and social commentary that was embedded in this film, it was still a great sci-fi movie. I mean, there was some really, really cool stuff.
Right.
I love the way he applied our sort of, just kind of common knowledge and exposure to video games and current technology in a lot of the alien stuff,
right,
like all the little heads-up displays and their spaceships and their,
right,
you know, kind of virtual touchscreens and everything. Again, without like focusing on that stuff and say, hey, look at the cool interface I came up with. It was just like really cool.
Right.
When he was in the power suit and he was being shot at, did you see all the little blips appearing,
right,
on the HUD like around him to show where he was being hot, you know, hit and all,
right,
that? There was some really cool stuff in it. Okay, so here are two things that bug me. One, when his wife called him the first time, why didn't he just say, look, we were going through the things and I found this thing and I got sprayed and I started to get sick and your dad's in on the whole thing and he's trying to use me for a medical,
right,
test. Why didn't he just tell her that?
Right.
It's his wife. She's going to listen to him.
Right.
But he didn't say that. And then the other thing that I couldn't quite figure out is why the spaceship got stuck in the first place. Why they didn't just leave after they got there. Because the main alien guy was gathering stuff from bits of junk that had fallen from the ship.
Right.
So if all that stuff was on the ship, why didn't he just get it while he was on the ship and,
right,
leave rather than waiting 20 years to scrounge for it?
I don't know. That's a good
question. That I could never figure out. But what was the thing that you...
Well, just a complaint I heard about it in a fairly negative review I read was that, you know, with the emotion that's in everything, it kind of near the end, especially that, I mean, obviously, I don't know the character's name and it's not even worth looking up, but the one that was out to get him.
Right. The military guy?
That he became a little too comic booky. And,
yeah.
And so it kind of like became more of an action comic book movie at the end than the tone that it had through the first two thirds, which I can kind of agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But still, I mean, you know, with how much junk is put out,
right?
You know, and right. And how many things are sequels, even good ones and stuff like
and
that.
And again, going back to and how much we, although you try as hard to make sure you don't know anything before
right.
going to see a movie,
right,
but
right.
but really to go into a it's such a treat to go into a movie and really not know anything,
right.
and then it unfold in front of you, and you're like, I had no idea that that's what this
right.
is about.
That's
or
why
that
I, that's why I don't
there.
Want to see anything else about Avatar until it comes out.
Right.
You know, I don't want to know.
That
anything.
Reminds me, when I saw this, I saw the preview for Avatar. That thing we saw online.
Oh, it was at
I
the
saw
movie
it
theater?
At the theater, and I have to say, it's much more impressive in the. I mean, obviously, it's more
right.
impressive in the theater, but I got more of a sense of excitement from it in the theater
yeah.
than I got watching it.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I think the thing that bothered me,
you know,
most...
what's good about that actually, I mean, which really helps is the music that's in it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Do you know who did it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a good question though.
So anyway, so that was District 9. And then now did you see anything else in the past week?
Not that I'll speak about at the moment.
Oh, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Now we watched I Love You Man, which you loaned to us on Blu-ray.
Yes.
We watched that last night, and I have to totally agree with you. Absolutely fantastic movie.
I love it.
Really funny. Real, you know, lots of heart again.
Doesn't poke at a certain demographic or a
right.
certain like group of people.
Right. 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 It was very respectful to
I'm
all
just
the...
saying with that premise, it could have been so homophobic or
right.
or like insulting.
No. And instead, the parts that were, you know, quote unquote homophobic were really funny. You know, the parts.
Oh, no, there was nothing homophobic in it.
No, I guess the parts about the. What I mean is like the misunderstanding parts.
Yeah, but there was nothing homophobic
right,
about that.
Right. And they were actually really funny. Those elements were really funny. And like you said, is it Andy Samberg, you know, played his brother who's gay? And, right. And oh my gosh, that scene at the dinner table, that first scene at his family's house at the dinner table, when his dad is telling him about his best friend
uh-huh.
of, you know, like 30, you know, talk to him two or three times a week, every week for the last 30 years. And then my other best friend is Billy, who's his brother.
Right.
And he like didn't even know that his brother and his dad were best friends. And he was like so hurt by that. It was so funny.
Yeah, there's just so many. Like
so
I
funny.
Said when I talked about it after I had first seen it, I just love all the little... I mean, it's not just like a setup and then a punchline. It's just
right.
little things that really happen between people, little fun
yeah.
things they say. And
yeah.
like, and that's funny. They took what's funny to people in everyday lives and got sure, there's still the kind of slapstick stuff that's in there, but the real funny stuff to me is the little stuff that really happens between people that they put in there.
Yeah, and I have to say, really impressed with Rashida Jones in that movie, too. Just really likable. I thought her acting was great. You know, again, like having seen her, my main exposure to her has been on The Office, where you kind of, even though she wasn't necessarily an unlikable character, you kind of didn't like her because she was in the way of Jim and Pam.
Right.
And so it was really nice to see her carry a movie as the female lead. And, you know, again, I thought it was kind of subtle in terms of I like the way the movie didn't let anything get too out of hand. You know,
right?
It didn't go too extreme with any of the little road bumps that they ran into. You know, there was the anger and the disappointment that you would have expected from people in their situation, without the thing getting totally out of control and everything going to hell. You know, there was also a level of understanding and compassion between the characters
right.
that I thought was really great.
And three dimensional.
And three dimensional, exactly.
I mean, I hate to keep bringing Adam Sandler.
Andy Samberg?
Adam Sandler,
right.
My punching bag, but like, you know, had this movie been in his hands, it would have been something completely different. It would have been probably insulting and not had the heart that it had.
Yeah, although can you really blame him though for if he's in a movie that he didn't write or direct?
At this point in his career, I'm sure he has pretty much, he has say in whatever he
yeah.
does. I'm sure.
I don't know. I mean, again, I go back to Big Daddy. And, you know, there were gay characters in Big Daddy, and I didn't think it was insulting at all. I thought that was a very, very sweet movie.
More so than his other stuff, sure.
Well, like, what faults do you have with that film?
Big Daddy?
Yeah. That was a great movie.
No, it's not a great movie.
You know, I think
it's
it
just
is.
Better of his...
No, I think it's a great movie. I think it's a really great movie.
I mean, I certainly don't think... Okay, as a parent, I mean, can you really, like... How do we put it?
Condone his handling of the situation.
Right.
Well, of course not. But that's how they showed him growing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his journey as a character. But it's a very sweet movie. Very sweet.
Well, you look like you're about to come to tears. Hey, while we're talking about I Love You, Man, movie. Let me just say, because I brought it up when we were talking about it before.
Yeah.
I said
that
was
not
one
real
thing
crying,
in
by the way. I've been practicing.
Huh?
That was not real crying, by the way. I've been practicing.
Yeah, I figured. No, I'm sure you're getting some real practice at home. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
What did that mean? That meant nothing.
I don't know. We just had lunch with my son. He was fine.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah, he's loud, though.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in a loud place, too. Yeah. It's not like we were at, you know, Shade
Joel.
No,
he's a very sweet kid, but he's so loud.
Yeah.
Yesterday, just during
dinner.
I don't
know where he gets
that from. Yeah, during dinner, he was just screaming nonstop. And it wasn't like he was upset. He was screaming and a big smile on his face. But, he's really loud. The kid's got a set of lungs on him. Ugh, it's hard to take sometimes.
Especially if you don't play him the Kangaroo song.
But what's that?
That's a Big Daddy reference.
Oh, sorry.
You don't love that movie. You know nothing about that movie.
I do love that movie. Do you know that little boy was played by twins?
Yes.
Okay.
Who are now on some TV show.
They
on
are? Really?
Disney, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're teenagers now.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
also played Ross's kid on Friends.
I did not know that.
Yes.
They also played the kid or kids at the end of The Astronaut's Wife. No, Astronaut's Wife?
You saw that?
Was that the one with
Johnny Depp
and Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Awful, terrible movie.
Of course it is.
Terrible film.
Wait, let me just get this before I forget.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
When I first reviewed I Love You, Man, I had a complaint, and I said it was something that happens frequently in comedies that drives me crazy.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what it is now.
Okay.
I hate movies that have weddings at the end, and the wedding gets interrupted. And no one does anything. Everyone
right.
just sits there and watches as the wedding's being interrupted.
Right.
You mean to tell me that the father like would just sit there like as this wedding's right. being interrupted, like no one's going to do anything. They're just going to sit there and watch.
Right.
Drives me crazy. It happens in every movie
yeah.
that has a wedding at the end of the movie.
Well, there are kind of a lot of ridiculous things that happen in every movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean this is
that
something
is really
that happens
dumb.
All the time, and it always. I mean, it's just a pet peeve of mine.
You know,
drives me crazy because
you know,
if that ever happened at a, I mean, obviously, there's nothing realistic about this
right,
movie.
Exactly.
But it just amazes me that people just sit and watch and like, ugh, drives me crazy.
You know what I want to say too about this film that I really liked? Not to totally change the subject from that point, because that's a good point. And I think I actually remember a movie where there was some kind of reaction and it was really funny. But I can't remember what it was now. But one of the things that I liked about this movie is there were a lot of things about both of the two guys that I identified with.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's part of the reason I enjoyed it so much.
Right.
But, and there was a lot of stuff that was just really, really funny. Really yeah. funny. It's a laugh out loud movie. I'll say that. Okay, so that's all I've seen. Did you see anything else?
Nope.
All right, so the next Batman movie may be shot entirely in IMAX. Do you have something you want to add about this?
I do have something I want to add to this. So I get up this morning and I'm getting ready to come, and on the news I hear that Megan Fox is going to play Catwoman.
No.
And I'm like, no way. It was reported in London. Well, on The Sun, which is tabloid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But they reported that. On the news this morning. So I just looked now online and they say that, yeah, The Sun reported it, but she's not been in any talks. She's just expressed that she would like to play Catwoman. But
she's also expressed that she would like to be in movies that require actual acting, but we haven't seen any of that from her either. Jennifer's Body, come on. Did you see the preview for that when you saw District 9? Looks terrible.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't think, you know, I hate to say it in case she's listening, and I'm only saying this because...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a possibility.
It could be. You don't know. She might be bored. And I'm only saying this because she has talked about this. I don't think she's anywhere near as good looking as she thinks she is. I'm not going to take away that she's an attractive woman.
Uh-huh. You know what? Every time we bring her up, you mention this. I think there's something about her that she did something to you.
No, she just annoys me.
But you bring it up all the time. Every time we mention her, you have to point out how she is not as attractive, that you don't think she's attractive, and she's not attractive as she thinks she is.
I don't think she's unattractive. I don't want to say that at all. She's a hottie. Okay, she might even be a super hottie. But to publicly state that you're better looking than Angelina Jolie is ridiculous.
Yeah. How old is she?
5. Mentally.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever. She just bugs me, I guess. Okay, Spielberg is developing Pirate Latitudes, which is based on a novel by Michael Crichton that was published posthumously. Set in 1665, it's an adventure story set off the coast of Jamaica. I couldn't really find anything else about it. I mean, I'm sure I could look up the book and find it out, but...
So it's a pirate movie.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, it's got pirate in the title, you know? Yeah. I just... you know, it's like every time I hear that Spielberg is going to do another, like, action or adventure or sci-fi or something, I get really excited, and then... What?
You think of War of the Worlds?
No. And, well, yeah. No, I get really excited, and then it just never really comes to pass anymore. I mean...
Right.
I don't know. I don't know, you know? I guess the same thing happens to filmmakers that happens to musicians. You know, they have this period where all their greatness happens, and then they just kind of, like...
Right.
Don't really know anymore. It's a little bit sad. Don't you think it's a little sad?
Yeah. But, you know, there will be other new directors that
like
come
Neil
along.
Blomkamp. Yeah. So there you go. But, you know, I guess I missed that innocent type of film, like, from the 80s. Yeah. You know, where that combined sci-fi and comedy and you know, there was still a level of innocence that I just don't think that we've seen in a long time.
Right.
Gore Verbinski is no longer directing the BioShock movie. It's now going to be directed by Carlos Fresnadillo, who did 28 Weeks Later. I think I saw that. I don't think it was great.
No, apparently it's supposed to be a lot worse. Did you ever see 28 Days Later?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as most people.
Oh, I liked it a lot. This is supposed to be much worse.
There was a lot of stuff about that movie that annoyed me, including the random shot of a car driving off in the distance in front of a field of flowers, which were hand-painted. why was that in the movie?
It's just artistic expression.
It was dumb artistic expression. The District 9 sequel is already being discussed, although Neil Blomkamp first wants to do a movie set entirely on an alien world. Maybe somebody should tell him about Avatar. Yeah, then maybe you could just save some time. The limited edition Blu-ray of Disney's Up... You know, the Pixar movie that you loved, which I still have not seen, will come with a working Luxo Jr. lamp. So there you go. You know, that was a real lamp before they made the...
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people don't know that. It's kind of a famous, like, architectural kind of, you know, piece. Now, just last week, I was saying how much I love the fact that MGM was re-releasing The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And that it wasn't news about a remake or a sequel or anything. And now look what we have. We have news... Not only about a sequel to The Wizard of Oz, but that Dorothy's granddaughter is going to be played by none other than Dakota Fanning.
Excellent.
That is the worst news I've heard all day, actually.
I can't stand her.
I don't mind her. Actually, she was good in that Push movie, or Pusher, or whatever that was.
Jump Pusher. Or
no. Why would you make a sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
The guy who wrote Wizard of Oz, there were many sequels already to The Wizard of Oz. Did you ever read any of those books as a kid?
No.
I read all of them.
No. I think I vaguely remember that they exist.
There's probably like 4 sequels to The Wizard of Oz.
So what is it? The Wizard of Oz, that was the first one, right? And then there was the Janitor of Oz, the Ice Cream Man of Oz, right?
No, now you're just being
silly. DMV guy of Oz, and the... Grocery Clerk of Oz.
Hold on, I want to... Let's not go anywhere. Let me find this.
Creepy Clown of Oz.
You're the Creepy Clown of Oz.
That made it official, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think I need another tasty cold beverage. But I can't leave right now because you're not talking. So what...
All 15 books.
15? So why would you have to... Why would you have to make a new one?
There's the Emerald City of Oz, Ozma of Oz. There's many Oz books.
Yeah. Wicked.
That's not an Oz book.
Oh. I don't know. I know people went to see it. They said it was all about them witches.
No, I mean, but it wasn't
by
the author.
I'm kidding. I know. So that's pretty much all I have for movies. Do you have anything else?
No.
All right, cool. We will be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Are you just saying that because you don't like cooking stuff?
What?
You don't like it when I talk about cooking gadgets?
No, but that's not really news. It's been out for a long
time. Okay, fine.
Most people know about that.
All right.
And Diva's Life.
Okay, we're back and we're going to talk about everything else. And I don't think I'm going to edit that out either. That whole little conversation.
Did you have that?
It was recording, yeah. I'm going to leave that in.
You didn't have that taping.
I did. I'm going to leave it in, too. Apple's new iPod lineup will be unveiled on September 9th. And as we've heard before, those will probably include cameras on both the iPod Touch and the Nano.
Like a 0.5 megapixel.
Really?
No.
You just made that up.
I made that up.
I hope that it would be the same camera that's
on the phone.
What?
I mean, in hindsight, the camera kind of sucks on the phone.
Oh, it totally sucks. It's terrible in low light. There's no flash. Why is there no flash?
Right.
Why is there no flash? There are other cameras out there that have 2, 3, 4 flashes. This one has zero.
Right.
Makes no sense. The Sony Walkman S540 will be available next month. It has speakers. Looks amazing. We'll post pictures of that. I have no idea how much it costs, but it looks really cool. I think it's another one with an OLED screen. I want to see more of that stuff coming. I want to see GPS, you know, car GPS systems with OLED screens. Because right now they're all kind of like, they all kind of look dull to me. We need something that looks a little more vibrant. And usually the touch screens on those suck too. So I think all you companies that make those things, you need to sort of get on the ball.
Yeah. If you're listening along with Megan Fox.
Because you're bugging me. Saab has released more specs and images on the 2010 9.5, which we will post pictures of, including a huge range of engines, including turbos and flex fuel versions, as well as optional Haldex XWD transmissions. Now, you used to be a huge Saab fan before you decided that...
I've never been a huge car fan in any way. Okay. I'm just saying I used to like the way they looked in the 80s.
They were funky.
Yeah.
This one's kind of cool looking. They, you know, for a while they got kind of boring because they were so intertwined with a lot of GM's platform stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they just got kind of, you know...
Lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, just lost in the... They were just not that exciting. But this one looks kind of cool. I was going to say some stuff, but you would have no idea what it meant, so I'm just going to skip it. But they're cool. We'll post pictures. The Samsung Instinct HD will be a Best Buy exclusive and should hit soon and will still be on Sprint. I think it's just got more of good stuff and less of bad stuff. It's also a lot roundier.
That's a good
specification.
Good way to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they chose that path.
That path instead of the other. You know, it looks a lot more rounded and kind of bubbly than the original Instinct. It looks almost like the Palm Pre in that kind of shape, you know.
Right.
A company called Bank Machine will modify certain East London ATMs to have menus in Cockney slang. So if you want your balance on screen, you hit the button that says balance on Charlie Sheen.
Come on.
If
this
you want,
isn't real.
It is real.
I don't believe this.
If you
for
want
a
some cash, hit the button that says sausage and mash. If you want to change your pin, hit the button that says Huckleberry Finn change. Totally real.
Where did you get?
Totally real.
This is not
look it up.
Real.
Look it up while I'm reading.
I absolutely refuse
look it up.
To believe this.
Look it up. Look it up. Look up Cockney ATMs. Okay. Tony told me not to talk about the next one. I was going to talk about this brownie pan that has a serpentine pattern that gives you all edges, but he says it's been out for a year. I just saw it today. Maybe it was an old post. Some dirtbag named Raymond Miller took his Apple G5 to the Genius Bar at his local Apple store, where the employee found kiddie porn pictures on the hard drive. And then the guy called the cops, who then came and arrested him. And the reason he brought in his G5 is he was having trouble with image files. That's the best part of that story.
What an idiot.
I know. That's just sick. Hans Larsen, a scientist in Canada, or as I like to say, Canada, believes he can reverse engineer dinosaurs from chickens. He says he won't do that, but that he can, and that the reason he's messing with it at all is just to prove once and for all that chickens and other birds came from dinosaurs. Which I think, haven't they already proven that? Why does he need to reprove it?
I'm sorry,
I think he's just using that as an excuse to reverse engineer dinosaurs from chickens. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Apparently the man's never seen Jurassic Park and has not learned any lessons from that. Are you looking up the Cockney ATMs?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a serious. I mean, yeah, they're doing it, but it's not a serious thing. They're just doing it to be.
But they're actually doing it.
Yeah, just well, because they've already done it with a few, just like as a joke, and they found that it brightened people's day, so they're going to do it for some of them.
Okay, that doesn't go against anything I said. I said they're doing it. I didn't say anything about their motivations for doing it. I just said they're doing it.
Yeah, but I think you should have mentioned their motivations rather than like.
Okay, how is the story different now?
Because it's all in good fun.
As opposed to, what was it when I read it?
It really was drab. You needed to add a little fun to it.
That is absolutely the worst argument I've ever heard for anything on this show. Qualcomm is working on a dedicated mobile TV. We'll use their Flow TV system that's already in use on phones like the LG View and Samsung Access. So basically, it's like a little flat panel TV, but that you can watch anywhere.
Yeah, I bet that'll work beautifully.
Exactly. Oh, but I don't know. You know, it may be okay. Don't forget, we got a new TV system now. It may work better than you think. Yeah. Well, because you can get TV signals, you know, pretty well with rabbit ears. I mean, you can get even HD with rabbit ears.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I don't really care. I'm not going to buy one. It's out of the bag now. Energizer's $12 E2 rechargeable D battery is apparently just an AA battery in a plastic shell with a wrapper. And the AA batteries are $3. So they're charging a lot of money for a plastic shell and a wrapper. That's pretty lame. Because yeah. A D battery is supposed to give you a lot more power. You know, it's supposed to last a lot longer. You use it in much heavier duty situations. But anyway. Okay, this is so cool. Remember when Esquire did that thing with the the e-ink cover? Well, Entertainment Weekly next month is adding full motion video with audio advertising to its magazine. There's going to be a little screen, like a cell phone screen, that's going to be embedded in the magazine, and it's going to activate when you open to that page, and it'll have different ads from different companies in video with audio.
That's really cool.
It is really cool, and they're apparently charging a fortune for it, and apparently had advertisers lined up to pay for it, which is really, really amazing.
Wow.
Especially in this economy. But that's so cool. Right. That's so cool. And I didn't put it in the list, but there was another advancement.
They're going to screw up when they fold it up and put it in my mailbox.
Oh, those jerks. But there was another advancement this week in LED display or LCD display technology. You know, OLEDs can be bent and flexible, but traditional LED screens, LCD screens, traditionally cannot because, you know, there are elements that can't be flexible for whatever technical reasons. But now there's a group that thinks that they've overcome that too, which is good because the traditional screens are a lot cheaper than OLEDs. OLEDs are a lot more expensive. A company called Apricorn has announced their Aegis Padlock Secure Hard Drive, which is a USB hard drive with a keypad on it that you have to actually unlock the drive with the keypad to get the data, which is encrypted. So if you don't punch in the right code, you can't get to anything that's on the drive, which is really cool. And they're only priced between $100 and $160, which is, you know, comparable to any other hard drive on the market. So, I mean, depending on the capacity. But I think that's pretty cool if you have stuff that really needs to be secured.
I don't.
Then you probably won't buy one.
No.
Okay. What about that Qualcomm portable TV? You gonna buy that?
No.
What about the brownie pan?
Yes.
Okay. I figured. So now, as always, it's time for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. As always, please, Tony, start with your worst.
I always start, don't I?
Yes. You've been paying attention?
Yeah.
Week 33, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, let me just preface this by saying that before this incident happened, I had had a nice big dinner and an entire bottle of wine to myself.
Wow.
But I had put
an entire bottle of wine?
Well, that's not a lot. It's 4 glasses of wine.
It's a lot. Shouldn't drive after that.
I didn't. I was at home.
Okay. I'm just saying you shouldn't.
Those of you
out there listening, if you're in your car and you've got a bottle of wine and a straw, you might want to pull over.
To any of my friends who are listening, they know that 4 glasses of wine is not a lot.
Yeah. Tony's got different friends than I do.
So I turned on the old On Demand, and this is not my best entertainment moment of the week or my worst, but I will say I'm very happy now that HBO before in high def used to just show their shows. They never put movies.
Oh, okay.
Now keep in mind, HBO usually gets the latest movies.
Yeah, see, it's been HD on DirecTV for a long time.
And on Demand?
No.
No, I'm talking about On Demand.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I mean, we have HBO High Def.
Sorry.
And in fact, a lot of them.
I gotcha.
But I'm saying as far as the on-demand, where you know you can just pick what you want
right.
at the time you want.
I know what on-demand
The whole
means.
Premise of on-demand.
Thank you.
They never offered movies before.
Okay.
So because when the premium channels
in
on-demand, on Comcast, show, you know, they usually take the chunk of the movies they're showing ad nauseum. And you can just watch them at any time.
Sure.
So now HBO does that.
Right.
So I went through the list, and I had seen most of them. And it's the bottle of wine that possessed me to watch Mamma Mia.
Really?
Yes.
So was Pierce Brosnan as dreadful as everyone
it
said?
It is an absolute train wreck.
The entire movie or just his performance?
The entire movie. And let me just say, you know I love Meryl Streep, and she can really do no wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought she could really do no wrong.
I told you.
She did some wrong.
I warned you.
She has done some wrong.
Well, you know, it's so funny because my, you know, Amy, my wife, and my sisters and my aunts last year when it was out, that because my aunts were all visiting from out of town, they all went to see the movie together. And they all loved it. They
your,
all thought
your wife loved it?
Yeah, they all thought it was Pierce Brosnan was terrible and it was embarrassing for him, but they all loved the movie otherwise. They were all like sitting around singing and dancing, reenacting the movie.
Ugh.
Our neighbor lady, she loved it, I think. I think she saw it and loved it. Pretty much every woman I know who's seen it loved it.
I hated it.
So I have never seen it and don't plan to. I got a few ABBA songs on my collection of music on my
iPhone.
Well,
I have to say, if you like ABBA, which I'm not a big fan of ABBA, but I don't dislike them.
Right.
I mean, it kind of, I mean, you don't want to hear those songs butchered, but it was nice to hear some of those songs again. I haven't heard them in
right.
a long time.
Right. Yeah. See, they're in my 70s rotation, so yeah. I hear them from time to time when the iPhone decides to actually randomize stuff, which is not very often, apparently. I swear, I could go into a playlist and hit, you know, shuffle, and I'm not kidding you, the same songs will, like, at least three or four of the first 10 songs it plays are the same every time. How is that random?
Yeah.
I mean, you got, like, 200 and some songs.
That's true.
It's ridiculous. I don't get it, but anyway. So for my worst entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to go with the fact that, like I said, I started playing the Mothership Zeta add-on for Fallout 3, and I had stopped playing, as we've talked about before, in Point Lookout because the game kept crashing. So I left the building I was in Point Lookout, and I went back to the dock, and I could not for the life of me figure out how to leave the stupid island. There was a character there who I had, you know, encountered before as part of the main quest, and she's like, hey, I took over the boat, so anytime you want to go back, just let me know. So I go up and talk to her, and there are no dialogue options. It's just like, I got to be going now. Okay, great. Yeah, we should get going.
And then nothing.
The boat just sat there.
So you're just stuck there,
no.
right?
No. So then and you can't travel to the rest of the world from that island.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to, like, get off the island before you can go anywhere else. No, so I had to go look it up. There's a cot in a room on the boat that you have to lay on, and then the boat will take you back.
How are you supposed to know that?
I don't know. I guess you're supposed to go online and look it up.
Is that what you did? You went online and
looked it up? Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
That's so funny.
And it's not like that mechanic was used in other parts of the game.
Right.
You know, sleep on this bed and we'll take you to a magical world. I mean, that didn't happen anywhere, but for some reason I was supposed to
know
that.
That's really weird.
You probably had to do that to get to the island in the first place, but I mean, that was 3 months ago. I don't remember that.
Right.
There should have been something. There was no reason to do that. You should have just talked to her. She commandeered the boat. Either let the player drive the boat or have the person who owns the boat take you back there.
Right.
Oh, so stupid.
But very funny.
It's
very funny.
Bad design decisions. Okay, your best entertainment moment?
I have to go with Shadow Complex.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even above District 9.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. Well, you know what? I struggled with those two.
Yeah.
But I just had a lot of fun with it. It's been a long time since I just sat down with a game that immediately, you know, I got immersed in that you know, before I knew it, I've been playing for a couple hours and
right.
wanted to keep playing.
Right.
That's really all I have to say about
that. That's all you got about that. Well, you know, I've already given World of Warcraft a best entertainment moment. So I'm going to have to go with Rick Bayless winning Top Chef Masters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's I don't know him. I've never even met the guy. But it's pretty cool when a local person, you know, local boy does good kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was really neat, too, because at the beginning of the series, I was kind of like, just whatever. But by the time it got to the finals and those the six final people, it got a lot more interesting. And just, you know, you could really see why these people are famous.
Right.
Because
masters.
Masters. Because the stuff that they were doing is just, you know, and I guess there's a little bit of an extra coolness to him winning because of the fact that he didn't really have any formal culinary training. You know, he did grow up in the restaurant business.
Right.
His parents owned a restaurant, and so he grew up in and around that stuff. So it's not like, you know, he just like somehow magically knew how to cook.
Right.
But still, you know, I think what he said was he went to school for anthropology because he wanted to be like an anthropologist or an archaeologist or something like that, and was in Mexico studying and just absolutely fell in love with their culture and their cuisine, and that's what got him interested in going back to the whole world of cooking. Mm-hmm. And why he's, you know, so focused on Mexico and its cuisine. And I thought that was a cool story too. But I thought that was really cool that you know, our local guy, you know,
yeah,
brought home the bacon, so to speak.
And not even Oprah's chef.
Not even Oprah's chef. He didn't even make it that far.
No.
Oh. But now, did you say you know him?
No.
Oh. Do you know
Graham Elliott?
Bayless?
Just the one I knew.
What?
Graham Elliott was the one I knew.
Oh, okay.
Do you know the other Chicago guy?
Yeah. You don't know Rick Bayless?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you eaten at both of his restaurants?
I haven't eaten at either of his
really?
Restaurants. And I would love to.
I can't believe you've never eaten there.
I can't
believe
you've never taken me there.
Why
We've been friends
I?
For like 25 years.
Why would I take you to a restaurant?
Because if you like it, why wouldn't you like, you know?
I do sort of have a tie with him, actually, that I'll tell you about later.
Okay.
I don't know him personally, but there's a connection.
Yeah.
It's only 3 degrees.
I mean, I know people.
Or 2 degrees.
Well, I have like, I know people have worked for him.
Yeah. I got something a little bit better than that.
All right.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you off the air. I was in jail with him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
We were bunkmates.
Totally kidding. He shivved me. It was pretty nasty, actually. No, but so congratulations to Rick Bayless. And that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, thanks as always for listening, and we will see you all again next week.
Bye. It was for gods.
Yeah. All right, bye, everyone.